Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. Headlines from London. Military briefing. Russia prepares Ukraine's spring offensive. Subhead. Kyiv's allies expect Moscow to alter combat tactics and employ more air power in planned attack. This follows a report 24 hours before from Brussels. Again, London reporting, FT. Western intelligence shows Russians amassing aircraft on Ukraine border. Subhead. NATO allies to prioritize rapid shipments of air defenses and ammunition as conflict enters new phase. I welcome my colleague and friend, Jeff McCausland, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, the CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. Jeff, what we have here is a war warning, and it's been repeated 2 days in a row now in London. The twist here is amassing war planes. What do we make of using this language, and somebody's giving this information to London? Is this Russian deception? Is this Kyiv deception? Can you tell, Jeff? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's unclear to me because we have conflicting voices. At the same time, this came out in the Financial Times. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin in Europe in an interview said that we were not seeing the massing of Russian aircraft to be integrated into any kind of upcoming offensive. Now, we hear from Kyiv many voices say that Russian offensive is actually already underway. Though at the same time, many Western officials, I think, are downplaying it. In one description, they called that Russian offensive, quote, more aspirational than realistic. While the Russians seem to have massed more manpower, it seems unclear that they've massed the materiel, artillery, new vehicles to replace those tanks, armed personnel carriers, trucks that have been destroyed, as well as the other hardware needed. And furthermore, are these troops better trained to do what we call combined operations? That would be integrate air power, if that's part of it, which it should be for the Russians, artillery and ground power, into an overall offensive operation. Or are we just simply going to see the Russians try to overwhelm Ukrainian defenses by sheer brute force and manpower? And don't forget, John, that old saying by Joseph Stalin, quantity has a quality all its own.
We go to the battlefront because the reporting of these last days since we talked, Jeff, is about the trench warfare in and around the Donbass and especially at Bakhmut. No evidence of air power there that I've seen reported. And in addition, there's no evidence of 2,000 armored vehicles. Some of the braggadocio is over the top. 2,000 armored vehicles, 300,000 men. I don't see it in Bakhmut. So where do we look? Even if we can't see it, where would you look for an offensive at the scale of using warplanes?
Well, you'd see it in the Donbass region, I would think, and you'd see it around Bakhmut, which seems to have taken on enormous political significance. And not again to quote someone, but, you know, Clausewitz said war is politics by other means. And as we approach the first anniversary of this war next week, it seems to me that particular town is taking on that type of a significance politically. And Mr. Putin wants to point to some kind of success. And more, it seems that success is going to be taking Bakhmut. If that was the objective, then you, I think, would see a greater integration of artillery, armored vehicles, aircraft, as well as ground infantry trying to do that. But right now, it seems to be a very attritional type of warfare, as you point out, trench warfare and the like, and very much door-to-door in this city of, at one time, 70,000, now around 10,000 civilians still there.
We have this from the FT characterizing what the reporters are being told. This is in Riga and in Kyiv and in London, so three different directions. The offensive will arrive unheralded. Well, that's not true. From multiple directions, probably using tactics unlike those Russia has employed so far, including a greater role for Air Force military officials warned. Again and again, I'm cautious because the Russians deceive. That's part of their warfare unit. The Russian offensive is not going to be like the Somme, speaks the official. It will happen in different ways, on different parts of the front line, and at different times. We have to be careful about thinking the offensive will be a single thing. All right, let's use the warplanes. The NATO forces are saying we've got to get more and more air defenses to the Ukrainians. To your knowledge, Jeff, do they have adequate air defenses now?
Well, they don't because they can't cover many of the fast-moving missile systems that the Russians have been employing against civilian infrastructure across Ukraine. That's certainly true. We know the Ukrainians have been pretty successful in taking down the drones and some of the other missiles that have been launched against them. But the S-300, unfortunately, they have not been able to take down. I think the expanded air defense systems for the Ukraine are really, in many ways, going to be directed on trying to protect that critical infrastructure. And as we approach that one-year anniversary, the one thing I would expect to happen is, unfortunately, renewed attacks on major cities across Ukraine using missiles as we approach that date. There are reports today, for example, of over a dozen Russian ships in the Black Sea fleet now on patrol in the Black Sea, many of them equipped with a caliber missile system, that they may be positioning themselves to launch missiles from those ships against Ukrainian cities, which, of course, they have done in the past.
Gulf War I, Colonel, your war. My memory is that the U.S. made much of an amphibious landing at Kuwait City. The beaches were prepared by the Iraqis. They were dug in. We were ready for an Omaha Beach scene. It was deception. You jumped the line and you cut off the advanced Iraqi forces. Can we see something like that, that we're looking in the wrong place for an offensive?
Could well be, and you're exactly right, John. I can remember arriving in Kuwait and going out to the coast and seeing large numbers of trenches and gun emplacements and obstacles on the beaches, all constructed pointing to the sea, expecting that amphibious assault. I remember capturing and going into an Iraqi divisional headquarters, and they had sand tables showing this amphibious assault at the beach and how they were going to maneuver their forces to meet that. And of course, none of that ever happened. I think we've seen that in some of the suggested reports by the Russians of a possible offensive that included coming out of Belarus in the north, or perhaps attacking around Kharkiv in the northeastern part of the Ukraine, as well as the Donbas. But largely so far, John, I'm beginning to think all that effort has been disinformation. Russians call it maskarovka, in an effort to dilute Ukrainian defenses in the Donbas, force them to position more troops and materiel in the north along the Belarusian border or up around Kharkiv to make their operation down the south perhaps more effective.
One thing that is clearly not deceptive is the arsenal. The arsenal is being depleted. I quote from a Neil Ferguson piece in Bloomberg. Ukraine is firing more than 5,000 artillery rounds every day, equal to a small European country's orders in an entire year. That's the FT reporting. And this, as of January 20th this year, 38 HIMARS have been sent to Ukraine with a cost of $6.8 million each. At the start of last year, Lockheed Martin was producing at a rate of 48 HIMARS a year and is now up to a rate of 60. But getting to its target rate of 90 will take 18 to 24 months. This is a long way of reporting that Ukraine is not in this for the long haul, nor is the arsenal of democracy. Not only are we not getting enough to Ukraine to stand off a Russian offensive, but we're depleting NATO's stores. Is that correct, Colonel?
Absolutely correct, John. And that 5,000 rounds that small European country would have ordered up probably would have been ordered from the United States. And total U.S. production of 155 artillery rounds at the onset of this particular conflict was about 175,000 rounds annually for all types of activity, training as well as war stocks. Well, at 5,000 rounds per day, that means in about 6 weeks, you have gone through more rounds than we produce in a single year. Life expectancy, if you just store an artillery round, is about 20 years. Now, there's been an effort in the last defense budget to increase U.S. production of such items by 500%. But those involved in the industrial base would tell you it may take 2 years to reach that level of production, which would bring us back, oh, by the way, to a level of ammunition production not dissimilar from what we were doing during the Korean War. And then finally, of course, on other systems, consider the Stinger or consider a TACM, should we decide to give that to Ukrainians. We don't even make those anymore. Those assembly lines have been closed down and would have to be reopened, retrofit, if in fact we were going to expand production of those items.
All eyes on Ukraine, so let's look elsewhere. One, I have reports from Moldova in these last hours that there's fear of a coup or a blow against the government, especially at Chisinau, the capital. The airspace was closed for a few hours, 24 hours past. The prime minister, the government has fallen. There's a new government. But the concern is that Moldova is a strike zone for Russian interference or intervention or undermining, which would flank Odessa, also very much threaten our ally Romania. Then there is, if you don't like coups in on the Baltic Sea, we have an incident near the Polish border, two Dutch F-35s escorting Russian warplanes, escorting a reconnaissance aircraft along the border. So do we look elsewhere for a Russian offensive? Are we being fooled, keeping our eyes just on Ukraine?
No, the Russians can conduct, you know, strategic deception or maskarovka as well as tactical strategic and maskarovka. And this may well be that. In terms of the Moldova, obviously this would pose a danger, as you suggest, to the Ukraine. Overflight of missiles, which the Russians have already done in past, fired from the Black Sea against targets in Ukraine passing through Moldovan airspace. And again, as I suggested, there's about a dozen Russian ships in the Black Sea fleet patrolling in that area right now. Also keep in mind that about 40% or more of Moldova on the east bank and in the Transnistria area is occupied by Russian forces. A small Russian force of a couple of thousand troops have been there ever since the end of the Cold War and Moldovan independence in a so-called Transnistrian Republic. So could the Russians use that as a staging area for some kind of effort against the very western border of Ukraine, vicinity of Odessa? That's certainly possible. And then finally, of course, you know, Moldova, very poor country, not a NATO member, not an EU member, has actually shouldered enormous, I would argue, humanitarian efforts in this particular conflict. As a percentage of population, just comparing it to the size of Moldova, Moldova has more refugees in its country than any other country in Europe.
Poland, the president is headed to Warsaw in these next days, about the same time that we're said to watch for a Russian offensive. I keep saying Soviet, Jeff. It's just my training in the 20th century. Forgive me. We both have the same education. Russian.
Right.
And that's why I paid attention to that incident along the Polish border. Poland is the front line of the front lines. Is there any vulnerability there? Have their stores been depleted? What do we know about Polish readiness?
Well, sure, their stores have been depleted because they transferred a lot of, which was really Soviet or Soviet-like military hardware, T-72s, T-72 ammo, spare parts, et cetera, 152-millimeter artillery ammo, which the Ukrainians had a lot of 152-millimeter guns, have all been transferred to the Ukraine in the early part of this war. And you point out again, John, rightfully so, in a moment ago, how the Russians have probed Polish air defense base by bringing a reconnaissance aircraft and a couple of fighters, probably trying to find out at what point would Polish air defense radars come on, at what point would Polish fighters come up. And I'm sure they'll point that out to Mr. Biden when he arrives. So I think what you might well expect is that the Poles are going to point out their vulnerability. They're going to certainly talk to Mr. Biden about the replacement of their military stocks that they've transferred to Ukraine with American military stocks. They've also put in requests to purchase a substantial number of Abrams tanks. Some of that order actually preceded this particular war, as well as HIMARS. And I would expect, well, Mr. Biden is in Warsaw, there may be other people showing up to meet with him, which would be all other frontline state leaders, particularly the Baltic republics, all those countries insisting, I think, on a much more aggressive effort by NATO in providing assistance to Ukraine and standing up to Russia. You know, we've talked about it before, John, and one of the defining aspects of this war may well be that the sort of center political gravity of NATO may be moving eastward and forced upon it by this particular conflict.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, visiting professor, Dickinson College, CEO, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. When we come back, balloon diplomacy. I'm John Battle.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.